Welcome to the Divided Kingdom News Program. Elizabeth Covered Carefully and I, Lou Carefully, stand amazed at the contents of this program that we label Late Summer Sin and Sickness. No, you are not dreaming when you hear our first headline from News with Views that links to a column written by Coach Dave Dobenmeyer, August 9th, Governor Jerry Brown's Gay Porn Push in Schools, Sacramento, California. Yes, it is a spiritual battle between good and evil, as the Bible reveals accurately who will oppose us. There's no question that California Governor Jerry Brown, a Democrat, better known as Governor Moonbeam, is a footman for the devil. Exactly the individual described in Coach Dave's column that everyone must read for gaining understanding of what is going on during this time. At the first of the year, Governor Brown mandated that, now sit down, all public government schools must show gay porn, must show gay porn, yes, pornography, to grade school kids. And this made California the first in the nation to order, quote-unquote, gay pornography to be shown to grade school children. Indeed, no kind of pornography was ever allowed to be shown to school children, but California is advanced, don't you know? Then on the first of the year, Governor Moonbeam ordered all California schools to add lessons about gays and lesbians to social studies classes in those public schools where you surrender your children every day. The bills were pushed by Senator Mark Lino, who authored the bills. Quote, today we are making history in California, Lino burped, by ensuring that our textbooks and instructional materials no longer exclude the contributions of LGBT Americans. This daily instruction of our children details, now listen to this, the various sexual choices a gay person has. Yep, they have plenty of choices for sure. And here is the closing statement. Quote, there is no room for, quote unquote, discrimination of any kind in our classrooms, our communities, or the state, said Dean Vogel, president of the California Teachers Association. So there. Wow. And I'm interjecting this. This is how I have to interject that we've had to censor some details of the next part in which Coach Dave wonders whether one of the gay sexual choices taught to children will be one he learned about in Asia.
Lou, I believe that was in San Francisco in the newspaper for gay men.
I think you're right about that. Anyway, that was in a San Francisco newspaper for sodomites. Let's just say it involved mutual defecation used as a food item. This is called scatting. It will come as no surprise that a powerful entity, the United Nations, has partnered with this evil organization to force-feed this sick agenda on the entire world. As if this could not get worse, the document proclaims that these new so-called rights supersede any claims of religious freedom. Now, all manner of sexual activities would be a human right to be protected by governments and courts. There is even a renewed effort to push acceptance of pedophilia, adults having sexual relations with children. Even this would be protected by what is now known as the Yogyakarta principles. I can write no more on this nasty, sickening practice, so we'll just say that all parents should be sending their children, should be aware that sending their children to public schools will expose your precious kids to be forcefully instructed in practices that could only be found in insane asylums back in earlier days.
Lou, you know that both of us are former educators in large public schools, and we could see some of these trends coming in, but this goes beyond the pale. And you know that little typo wasn't your fault that it looked like Asia. It was San Francisco. And the utter depravity of this practice, the defecating and using it as a food item, we just can't give you all the gross, vulgar, horrible, degrading details. But this is good that Coach Dobenmeyer has advice for parents.
Moving on with the article, parents reading this, please talk to your church pastor about starting a Christian school at your church. It is not complicated to put together and operate. We must get our children out of this madness. It is our profound duty to protect our children. And they do indeed need to be protected from the public school system. Most sane people would assume that this would have to end. That is not true. Once something like this gets released into the atmosphere, it will only increase with more atmospheric pressure. Now this sick perversion has taken the next step, since it was not stopped when it started, when it could have been. The richest and most powerful bodies in the world have now banded together, banded together to promote a radical homosexual transgender document called the Yogyakarta, I guess it is, principles, according to the Center for Family and Human Rights based in New York. And that partner is the United Nations. The Yogyakarta Principles is a document about human rights in the areas of sexual orientation and gender identity, published as the outcome of an international meeting of human rights groups in Yogyakarta, Indonesia. The document was drafted by activists, including a disgraced Catholic priest named Michael O'Flaherty, in order to force, quote-unquote, gay marriage in Ireland. It is a wicked document that seeks to impose the gay ideology on the whole world. The Yogyakarta principles declare that all forms of human sexuality are a human right. They say that anything anyone wants to do with anyone else is, now get this, protected by international law. Citizens, it is time to push back against this sick agenda. If we do not stand firm on this by phone calls, letters to the editor, radio program call-ins, and from the pulpits, then we are doomed to live the rest of our lives surrounded by perversion. We cannot further allow this to happen. Continuing. Fallout, because it is continuing fallout from the expose of the Roman Catholic priest's criminal child abuse is beginning to deflect back strongly to the shepherd of the Roman Catholic flock, Pope Francis. Here are some headlines. August 26, 2018, Pope Francis long knew of cardinal's abuse and must resign, Archbishop says. August 25, 2018, in Ireland, Pope Francis finds a country transformed and a church in tatters. April 8, 2016, rather than rules, Pope's document gives license to adapt. Another quote worth noting, Pope Francis on gay children, don't condemn. Have a dialogue. And now from The View, Time Magazine, September 3rd through 10th issue, 2018. The Pope's True Power by Paul Ellie. Witch hunts is what prominent Cardinal Oscar Rodriguez Maradiaga of Honduras called the Boston Globes and other outlets reporting on decades of sexual abuse by Catholic priests in 2002. After the coverage led to accusations of a cover-up, he is now one of Pope Francis's closest advisors. But they were not witch hunts. They told the truth. And then there is an article entitled Pope Francis, The Accusations and the Backstory by Richard Perez Pena, August 27th, 2018, Dateline to London. For people who are not immersed in the doctrines and politics of the Roman Catholic Church, the uproar over new accusations against Pope Francis can be hard to parse. A mix of the sexual abuse scandals that have rocked the Church and bitter factional fighting, infighting over its direction. How closely these two factors are related is unclear, as is the credibility of the allegations against the Pope. But at a time when the Church is enduring an international crisis, largely over generations of sexual misconduct and cover-ups, the suggestion that Francis was in any way complicit could pose a threat to his papacy. Here, then, are answers to what some of the big questions raised by the controversy. What has the Pope been accused of? The answer is, an Archbishop, Carlos Maria Vigano, released a letter claiming that Pope Francis, his predecessors, and others in the church hierarchy knew of sexual misconduct by Cardinal Theodore E. McCarrick, the Archbishop of Washington, years before it was made public. Archbishop Vigano said he told Francis in 2013 that the Pope's predecessor, Benedict XVI had ordered Cardinal McCarrick, quote, to withdraw to a life of prayer and penance, unquote, because of the accusations against him. But Francis, Archbishop Pagano wrote, empowered Cardinal McCarrick, allowing him to help choose American bishops. Cardinal McCarrick was forced to resign last month, and Archbishop Pagano said the Pope must resign too. The Pope said he would not dignify questions about the claims of the response. The letter was timed to coincide with the Pope's visit to Ireland, where the Church has struggled to fashion an effective response to revelations of clerical abuse and cover-ups that have severely damaged its authority. Francis, after being criticized for appearing to play down similar allegations in Chile and elsewhere, has worked hard in recent months to be seen as taking them more seriously. Archbishop Pagano, the Vatican envoy to the United States until Francis removed him in 2016, has long been at odds with the Pope and has campaigned against what he sees as the pernicious influence of gay priests. His letter not only accused church leaders by name of covering up clerical misconduct, but also claimed that some of them are gay. He has cast the church's abuse scandals as a problem stemming from homosexuality, claiming that a gay cabal is corrupting the institution from within. The most volatile disputes have to do with social issues on which public opinion in Western countries has moved away from church teaching. Among them, homosexuality, abortion, divorce, and remarriage. The Pope's defenders say it is less a matter of changing church doctrine than of how the church treats people who are broken with that doctrine. Critics say Francis is undermining established and immutable principles. Francis sent shockwaves through the Catholic world soon after his election as Pope in 2013 by saying, quote, if someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge, unquote. He did it again less than 2 months later, saying that the church, quote, cannot be obsessed, unquote, with issues like abortion, homosexuality, and birth control. His 2016 statement on the family urged priests and congregations to be more welcoming of people who are long castigated as sinners and to focus more on social missions like caring for the poor.
Lou, I have to ask you, that's a strange thing to think of the Pope, the leader of the entire church, all those probably billions of people, talking about being obsessed with things that we would think are cardinal principles of a true Christian religion.
Well, that's exactly right, and it leads one to think that maybe he just doesn't believe those are the cardinal principles of the church. His 2016, and again we're back to the article now, his 2016 statement on the family urged priests and congregations to be more welcoming of people who are long castigated sinners and to focus more on social missions like caring for the poor. And he broke with tradition in proposing a less centrally governed church, urging elements of the church around the world to find their own approaches to difficult issues. And another question, haven't there always been disputes? Here's the answer. There have been doctrinal disputes for as long as there's been a church, but they tended to be kept under wraps. Pope John Paul II and Benedict XVI, who led the church for 35 years, not only slowed the pace of change after the Second Vatican Council, but also enforced strict discipline among bishops and theologians and seminaries. Francis, on the other hand, upending conservatives' expectations, has repeatedly invited dissent, and they have obliged him.
And, of course, there are some calls for the Pope to step down. This is a situation we'll have to watch, but there's so much for us to cover today in the area of this sin and sickness in the summer, the late summer of 2018. There's a very powerful essay now by Pastor Dale Henkel. And in case some of you would like to write to him, he has a good ministry trying to save those babies who are being aborted. And he brought to light the story a couple years ago of Lakeisha Wilson, who was murdered in one of the abortuaries, and it was covered up. So we do recommend his work very much. His address, that's Pastor Dale Henkel, H-E-I-N-K-E-L. It is 10865 Again, it's 10865 Fence Row, and that's two words, Drive, Strongsville, capital Strongsville, Ohio. And the zip code is 44149-2111. And again, that is 10865 Fence Row Drive, Strongsville, Ohio, 44149-2111. And he's a very tiny ministry if anyone wants to help him. I think a few of our listeners have. But his powerful essay is Death of America, Part 3. And now, some of this sickness and sin is that we are beginning to lose our First Amendment rights. We need great prayer for the leaders of the fight to keep it, primarily Alex Jones, but others, too, are in danger. Death of America, Part 3. The ungodly left can't stand the fact that President Trump is in the process of cleaning up everything that's wrong in America, whether it be in the federal government or free enterprise. There's too much good news out there that they didn't want the electorate to know about. This close, less than 100 days to the midterm elections, so they are now attempting to censor our free speech any way that they can. First, President Trump is undoing the problems Comrade Abomination created with his socialist-slash-communist agenda. Second, he's doing the things necessary to expand the economy. We now have lower tax rates, so workers have more money in their own pockets instead of owing it to the government. He's also created a friendlier business atmosphere, so employers are expanding their businesses and hire more workers. People are going back to work and getting off of government handouts. They're paying money into the government instead of sucking the money out of it. A side note here, as many of you already know, and again, this is Pastor Dale Hinkle's words, I wasn't happy with Trump being the Republican nominee for president, even though I realized back in 1988, after President Reagan, Daddy Bush, read my lips, no new taxes, that we needed a businessman to clean up the financial mess in Washington, D.C. And I didn't like the way Trump said things, but we all knew he would be better than Hillary, and we see that his actions are speaking louder than his words. Because of the horrible shape the country was in when he assumed the office, I think he has already done more good than President Reagan did in his 8 years. Do I hear some clapping? And still, he has only scratched the surface of what needs to be done to fully straighten out our beloved country. None of this sits well with the Democrats. They need the masses dependent upon the government so they can get their votes to get themselves back into power again. This is over and above the voter fraud they're already doing. Example, 170 voters over the age 116 voted in the Ohio 12th District special election last week. The oldest known person alive today is 115. Oh, Lou, you're not quite old enough to be voting.
No, but when I get to that age, by gosh, I'm going to vote four or five times.
Oh, they'll send a van to pick you up to do just that thing. But back to Dale Hinkle, they're losing the black and legal Hispanic votes at an alarming, for them, rate. 6 to 8% of blacks voted for Trump. He had a 15% approval rating a year ago, and now it's at 29% and continuing to rise. Trump was laughed at when he said he was going to get 30% of the black community. He's almost there in only 18 months. The Democrats can't win elections if the black vote isn't 90-plus percent for them. That's why they need so many illegal aliens, so many as they can get into the country and voting. 50% of them are currently on welfare programs, according to a news article I just read. The more illegals that come here, the higher the dependence rate will be and the more votes they will get. You have many blacks on YouTube praising President Trump. Candace Owens, Diamond and Silk, Brandon Tatum, Leo Dunson, David Harris Jr., The Amazing Lucas, and Kevin's Corner, to name a few. And I'm still discovering new ones on a regular basis. I check out their videos regularly, and they're every bit as radical as I am. They're reaching the black community and challenging them to get off of the mental, he has in parentheses, plantation of the Democrat Party. I'm sure they have had a big impact that's created Trump's 29% approval rating. Add to this the record low minority unemployment since Trump took office. Wages are up from an average of $26,000. Oh, excuse me, I was looking for the yearly. It's $26 an hour to $27.05. Consumer confidence up from 111.8 to 127.4. And the gross domestic product, GDP, is at a new all-time high, passing $20 trillion. The left is frantic to stop all of this good news from getting out to the public. So the liberals are taking steps to muzzle our conservative voice any way they can. I'm going to interrupt this article by Dale Henkel to tell you that it is vital, if you appreciate this program, no commercials, a completely independent point of view from a Christian standpoint, that you help us stay on the air. If you do not have money, you can write letters of encouragement. If you do have some money and you want to make out a check to WWCR, World Wide Christian Shortwave, you can do that. You can hear us on WWCR Thursday evenings, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. You can hear us on LWRN.net, 5 p.m. Mondays, repeating at 11 p.m. That's Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net. But if you want to write to us, you can write to Lou, capital L-O-U, Caverly, capital C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, and the zip is 21609. Again, our Post Office Box is 28. The town is Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. Dale Henkel tells us that we cannot take these things for granted. Our freedom of speech, which is just so very important, because he's going to tell us some important things, what these liberals are doing to muzzle the conservative voices. Quote, they've already got almost all of the major newspapers and all but Fox News on local TV and cable, including most Fox affiliates. Unfortunately, Fox News may be a temporary situation. The founder, Rupert Murdoch, is 87 years old and has turned the operations over to his two sons, who are both liberals. I'm going to interject there. We need to pray for Murdoch's sons, that surely they will see there's an overwhelming number of people in America, well-heeled people, the upper middle class, who really support Fox News the way it is now, people who really admire Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, just two examples there for telling the truth. So I believe that we need strong prayer for these future leaders of Fox to continue the wonderful, classy news organization that Rupert Murdoch has built. Back to what Dale Henkel says. He says the remaining outlets are radio, which they have probably lost forever. He's talking about the liberals losing them, and the internet, where most of the younger generations, millennials, Generation Z, and most Generation X's, 18 to 40 years old, hang out. The liberals created and control all of the social media outlets on the internet, Facebook, YouTube, Apple, Google, LinkedIn, Twitter, etc. They have to stop our voice on these platforms so the younger generations can't hear an opposing point of view. To that end, they have started cutting off our First Amendment free speech on the basis that they are private businesses, so they can choose what they will allow. Contrast this with the couple that had a bakery, private business, in the state of Washington. They were fined $135,000 for refusing to make a cake for a lesbian wedding 3 years ago. They were forced out of business because of their Christian beliefs. To do this, all of these social media outlets have changed their algorithms to key on certain words and delete the content if it comes from a conservative, Republican, or Christian source. Then they ban the user for a day, then a week, then a month for subsequent infractions of their, quote, terms of service policy. This is only for those that are on the political slash religious right. Those on the ungodly left are allowed to continue saying whatever they want, including advocating violence. Case in point, Alex Jones was just permanently banned from YouTube, Facebook, and Apple all on the same day. Everything he had saved on their platforms over the last decade plus was deleted. all because he criticized a drag queen festival in his own city, Austin, Texas. They were dressing up boys in drag and teaching them to strip tease along with other unmentionable activities. Can America get any more perverted than this? Unfortunately, the answer is probably yes. And we here on this program believe that Alex Jones is genuine. We find differing opinions with some of his, perhaps his spiritual ideas. Perhaps he's too close to the New Age ideas, admiring someone like Carl Jung. Some of these people that he has admired do not represent total biblical Christianity, in our opinion. However, we have just heard him lately. He calls out to Jesus. He calls out to God to help him. He is undoubtedly in danger. Lou and I have seen the innermost parts of the alternative radio. We know who we suspect as being disinfo agents. One of them, at one point, wrote to Dr. Stan Monteith, the late beloved mentor we've had on radio, and this person had a column downgrading Alex Jones as a Marxist, and because he brought out 9/11. I informed Dr. Stan about this, and he never again, from everything I could see, and we got monthly bulletins of his programs, he never again interviewed that person. And that person was well known in the alternative radio community. So, you see, Dr. Stan was right when he said every conservative organization that he knew of had been co-opted, taken over. I believe that Dr. Stan was a good witness. He did bring out some of the Jesuit conspiracy, perhaps not enough to satisfy some people who have looked into it greatly, but he did bring out some of it. He brought out many, many things. He said something about Dick Cheney that I would never repeat on the air for my own safety. And when I heard him say that, I knew, my goodness, you are real. You are not pulling any punches. And he once told Alex Jones, you're doing a wonderful job of getting the truth out. So let's be careful before we accuse Alex Jones of being a disinfo agent. We know that on a certain network, Alex Jones said on air, this network was advising other programs to be taken by the stations. That to me sounds like sabotage. I'm not going to name which network that is or which affiliate that was with Alex Jones. But we know, Lou and I have been around now for 15 years. We know certain things that sabotaged our own program. People were just suddenly let go from places. And Dr. Stan, in his late years, was let go from a network, a different network than the one that let us go. So we have our eyes open. And I say, you look at the fruits. You look at the fruits of someone. Why do all of the major magazines and other social media, why do they hate Alex Jones? Why? Because he is supporting Trump. They're on the same side. So don't be taken in. Do not be taken in. Now, we have to get back to this from Dale Henkel. At the same time Alex Jones is being banned, Antifa, defined by the federal government as a left-wing domestic terrorist group, is still allowed to have training videos inciting violence. Do you understand what I have just told you? Do you see? The handwriting is on the wall, and Christian persecution is coming. The tribulation is coming. We don't know when, but these are not good trends. We need much prayer, and we ask all of you to pray that our freedoms will continue here in America and that America will repent, because there will be no long-lasting freedom of speech without the spiritual heart of America repenting. Now, Dale Henkel says in one of these training videos that incite violence, they teach radical Antifa activists how to violently incapacitate anyone who opposes their will. One of them says, quote, if you get a good liver or kidney shot, it's pretty much crippling them. They're going to be doubled over and in a lot of pain. If you break one of the floating ribs, which are small and right down here, those are also very painful. It's hard to move after that to catch a breath. This is really Orwellian. Do you understand that Alex Jones was permanently removed from those social media because he stood up against the evil of dressing boys up in drag and teaching them to striptease, while at the same time, evil is being promoted and extolled by having this direction, how to maim people, harm people, break their ribs. What in the world is going on? Well, reality is turned upside down, but we know that you listeners do not have the reprobate mind because you read the King James Version Bible and you have committed your lives to Jesus Christ. And we are appealing to you for stronger prayers for our country than ever, strong prayers. And Dale Hankley says, I remember being with JFA, and that's an organization that tries to protect life, at a university 3 to 4 years ago. I don't remember which one it was, and I don't have time to look up the newsletter I wrote on it. They didn't like our pro-life message and angrily asked what gave us the right to be there. When we answered, it's our right to First Amendment free speech, they gathered all their protest buddies and started chanting, free speech is our speech. In other words, only liberals are allowed to have free speech, and ours is to be squashed. That is what the social media is now attempting to do. You also have CNN and MSNBC calling us Nazis and accomplices to rape when it's the illegal aliens doing the rapes. CNN's Don Lemon, black, saying Trump supporters are people who will lie, steal, and cheat, lie to their mother. Hate speech is their speech, too. There are many other examples I could give you. The bottom line is this. If the left can get away with these things against Alex Jones, it will happen to others and eventually to every conservative, Republican, and Christian. Mark Dice will probably be one of the next for them to go after because he has 1.3 million viewers on YouTube. That's more viewers than either CNN or MSNBC. Plus, he has viewers on other platforms like Facebook. This is all the beginning of the end of free speech for all conservative, Republicans, and Christians. The ungodly left is afraid that Kavanaugh, if confirmed, will provide the fifth vote needed to overturn Roe versus Wade, and their sacrament, abortion, will be outlawed. I'm not so sure he's on our side because he made a comment about leaving Roe versus Wade as it is. Knowing that I'm not a lawyer, I don't understand those that say if Roe is overturned, it will go back to the states. Doesn't the Declaration of Independence say that everyone has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? And doesn't the Constitution say everyone has the right to life, liberty, and property? What part of life don't I understand? When a human sperm fertilizes a human egg, will it ever become an ant or an elephant or anything else in between other than a human being? We've been poking a finger in God's eye with abortion nationally for the last 45 years and even longer in some individual states. If we were a Christian nation as we profess to be, Roe versus Wade never would have happened in the first place. Add to this the hatred liberals have had for Christians all of these years. Here's another example of it. Evangelist Greg Laurie was advertising his annual crusade on billboards in L.A. The liberals forced the billboard company to remove his sign because Greg was holding up a Bible. It didn't even say Bible on the book. With things like this happening all over the country, we know that America will fall soon because we're very close to the beginning of the tribulation period. God says he's long-suffering, but when the gospel is being shut off and there's nowhere else in the world for God to go to get his message out, we see that the end is near. I'm surprised he hasn't judged America already. And again, this is one of the most powerful essays we have ever read on air. And if you would like to support Pastor Dale Hankel, you could send a personal check to him for his little ministry. He lives on almost nothing. We have read from other newsletters in which he's told his situation. So that's Pastor Dale Hankel, H-E-N-K-E-L, and Dale is capital D-A-L-E, 10865 Fence Row Drive, Strongsville, all one word, Ohio, 44149-2111. That's 44149-2111. This hatred, someone else sees that we're in a holy war, doesn't he, Lou?
That's right. We have holy war. Franklin Graham sheds vile media. This is posted by Bob Unruh on August the 8th, 2018. Franklin Graham chief of Samaritan's Purse, as well as the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, is pulling no punches in his criticism of the New York Times. His comments appeared on Facebook regarding an opinion piece published by the newspaper. The newspaper also was cited by the Federalist for an, quote, atrociously brutal piece, unquote, by Frank Bruni, who called Vice President Mike Pence a, quote, holy terror, unquote. Federalist writer Glenn T. Stanton said, quote, Bruni actually warns the best case against impeaching Trump is the much greater danger of Pence, unquote. For Graham, it was too much. He said, quote, the New York Times published a slanderous, vile op-ed piece about Vice President Mike Pence. They were specifically attacking his faith, which really is an attack on all of us who believe in God and his son, Jesus Christ. I am disappointed that the New York Times would stoop so low. I have never seen such hatred put out against such a good man. Vice President Pence is a dedicated public servant who is doing an exemplary job for our nation. Attacks like this against him and the Lord that he serves should remind us all to keep him in our prayers, because he not only represents our country, but all who hold a deep and sincere faith in God. Pray for Vice President Pence, his wife Karen, and their entire family that God would put a hedge of protection around them, unquote. Stanton had explained more, quote, think about that moment, though. For all the venom and apocalyptic hysteria being spewed at everything Trump has ever said, done, or probably even thought, and there is plenty there of concern, there is someone even worse than this president. Bruni makes Chicken Little seem measured, Stanton wrote. He explained Bruni's perspective, quote, Pence's original and most damning sin is that he's a Christian who actually believes that Christians actually believe, or what Christians actually believe. Imagine that. He continued, Pence is really no different than your run-of-the-mill evangelical. Boy, millions of Americans. He believes that God governs the affairs of men, that prayer is effectual and worth doing, that marriage and family are best when built upon a married mother and father, that life is sacred and abortion destroys life, and that God appoints our government's leaders, even those who are hostile to him, unquote. Bruni had slammed the vice president for his, quote, regressive, repressive version of Christianity, unquote. His statement that to trade Trump for Pence would be to go from, and this is in quotes, from kleptocracy to theocracy, unquote, drew Stanton's disbelief. Quote, how does one even respond to such meteoric hyperbole, masquerading as thoughtfulness? Every person in government who's possessed any measure of traditional Christian conviction and has the temerity to live by it has been accused of wanting to start a theocracy. The charge has grown quite thin, and it has never even come close to happening. Chicken Little, again, unquote. And he warned that Bruni fails to see that, quote, it is precisely this kind of elitist bigotry that fueled Trump's ascendancy. But they keep topping off that tank with tanker truck after tanker truck of high-test vitriol, unquote. It's interesting that when Joy Behar said on The View that Pence was mentally ill because he says he sometimes hears from God when he prays, she was answering the panel's question as to whether Pence would be a worse president than Trump. She later apologized. She was willing to call Pence psychotic, but she would not go as far as to say he is worse than Trump, because she explained no one could be worse than Trump. Saying Bruni is rhetorically more extreme than Behar is certainly saying something.
And there was more vile media coverage about Trump. This was from the Northwest Florida Daily News, and it appeared in a local paper Monday, July 23, 2018. Here are a few excerpts.
Comparing Trump to Hitler is a disgrace. Last month, Donnie Deutsch, former host of his own CNBC show and a frequent contributor to MSNBC, was on MSNBC's Morning Joe, discussing the blossoming crisis of family separation on the Mexican border. At one point, Deutsch observed, quote, if you vote for Trump, then you, the voter, you, not Donald Trump, are standing at the border like Nazis, going, you here, you there, unquote. That scummy comment, disparaging more than 60 million Americans, is akin to the pure evil of Adolf Hitler's murderous regime, slid by the hosts and other guests without reproach or correction. Not surprising. Such remarks have become common in the Trump era. No matter how much you may dislike or disagree with Trump, the warped practice of casually comparing him and other U.S. officials to the ruthless, merciless ghouls who executed 6 million souls and tortured and persecuted countless more simply for being Jewish or something else they despised is a disgrace and demonstrates massive, willful, historical ignorance. Criticizing the president is an all-American pastime and a First Amendment right. That should not stop. But those who resort to dim-witted Hitler references to denounce Trump embarrass themselves. Additionally, repeat a lie often enough and people begin to believe it. In a volatile age, no one knows where that might lead. Yet the worst sin one commits with Trump Nazi references is cheapening and trivializing the ghastly horror of Hitler's final solution, the systematic industrial-scale dehumanization and butchery of millions of people, the worst crime against humanity the modern world has ever seen. In case you've forgotten or don't know what that is, check out the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum website. Within 12 years, Hitler and his barbarous minions annihilated 2 of every 3 Jews living in Europe. But it didn't stop there. The Nazis also slaughtered Slavs, gypsies, the mentally ill, homosexuals, the disabled, including children, communists, socialists, union members, even Jehovah's Witnesses, and later Soviet Army prisoners. According to the museum, Hitler operated a network of 40,000 prisons to murder, torture, or punish his regime's enemies. The most notorious of these were the killing centers such as Auschwitz. To eliminate that hatred and violence, the museum reports that the Nazis at one point fatally gassed as many as 6,000 Jews each day at Birkenau, the facility Hayden so blithely tweeted about. It was hell on earth. It's not happening here. Bruce Anderson, a political science professor at Florida Southern College, is a student of German politics and history. Each spring, he tours Germany with some students. The most solemn and powerful part of the excursion is a visit to the death camps. Anderson is not a Trump fan by any stretch. Yet he tells us in an email that comparing, and this is in quotes, comparing the current president, or anyone for that matter, to Adolf Hitler is ludicrous, unquote. He adds, Trump is not only not Hitler, he has none of the characteristics of Hitler. Equating the two is silly. To reiterate, Trump is not Hitler. America is not Nazi Germany. This must stop. That was reprinted from the Northwest Florida Daily News.
But there is a place where some things are going on, and we should know that a lot of the social media has these extremely close connections now with communist China. Actually, the kind of a score, your credit score, this is being, I guess we'd say, globalized, and it may come back to haunt us here as communist China. The New World Order's big beast, we've always known this from the work of Dr. Dennis Cuddy. They were part of the template. The suicide net workers there in China, you see where life was very cheap, the one-child policy, all of this would represent what will come one day when the New World Order has its way, and there are many fewer people in the world, and the ones left who are not the elite will be there, you see, like slaves, a few people working or imprisoned. The dissidents will all be once again imprisoned. So we don't think this looks like a good trend in China. Time magazine, August 27th, reported China accused of detaining millions in crackdown on ethnic minority. And as you hear this, think about if we allow these things to progress here, and we're going to be reading a letter to President Trump from Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily soon as a warning. But just picture what can happen if we don't stop some of these most violent Antifa and other radical leftists from the beginning stages of Christian persecution by their voices, by their actions. China accused of detaining millions in crackdown on ethnic minority. China's repression of a mostly Muslim minority has left the Western Xinjiang region resembling a massive internment camp, a UN human rights expert said at a summit on racial discrimination on August 10th. The UN panel cited credible reports that Chinese authorities have put more than 1 million Uyghurs in internment camps and subjected a million more to, quote, re-education programs. China says it's merely cracking down on extremists. Extremist excuse. China rejects the UN panel's allegations and says it is attempting to stamp out religious extremism and sectarianism in Xinjiang. The province has suffered episodes of violence since bloody clashes broke out in 2009 between the Uyghurs and the Han majority. 197 people, mostly Han, died. State media said on August 12th that increased security measures have saved Xinjiang from becoming China's Syria. Now, here's the one that applies to us most clearly, church and state. Since coming to power in 2012, President Xi Jinping has led a drive to subjugate both Islam and Christianity to Chinese identity. At places of worship across the country, authorities have swapped minarets and crosses for Chinese flags, reminding citizens to prioritize the atheist Communist Party above all else. The crackdown comes amid a dramatic expansion of China's surveillance apparatus, which is using tools like facial recognition and artificial intelligence to weed out dissidents and reward loyalty. Now, did you pay attention to that sentence? This is what we're getting, a preview of what will come here if the global government gets stronger, if the New World Order, the swamp, gets more power over America, and these things are standardized through this template of China. Let's hear it again. The crackdown comes amid a dramatic expansion of China's surveillance apparatus, which is using tools like facial recognition and artificial intelligence to weed out dissidents and reward loyalty. With China firmly under the control of the party, difference, religious or otherwise, is increasingly not to be tolerated. And we can't tolerate that happening here. As a loyal American, I won't. Will you, Lou?
No, absolutely not. These are the freedoms we must preserve at all cost. If those go down, life will be hell on earth. And here we have an article, President Trump, Google Must Be Stopped, posted by Joseph Fair, August 8th, 2018. Dear President Trump, stop worrying so much about CNN, The Washington Post, The New York Times, and the rest of the fake news machine that despises you. There's a bigger, more powerful enemy stalking you, Google. You may not realize it yet, but Google, along with Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, represent a much bigger threat to your presidency, your re-election campaign in 2020, and more profoundly, our First Amendment rights to freedom of the press, freedom of speech, and freedom of religion. Together, Google and Facebook control 75% of the digital advertising market. Most Americans don't get that news directly from CNN, I think that should be CNN, The Washington Post, The New York Times, and the rest of the fake news cartel. They get it indirectly through Google and Facebook's algorithms that are biased toward those sources and even more despicable ones like The Huffington Post and The Daily Beast. Think of Google and Facebook as the gatekeepers of what passes for news and information to Americans. Why? Because that's what they are. They are the unofficial, quote-unquote, distributors, if you will. They penalize news sources that report honestly on your amazing accomplishments as president while spreading the lies and propaganda of the Trump-hating fake news cartel. They reward the media they like with advertising and punish those they don't like. Is that their right to do so? No, it is not. In fact, they are not publishers under the law. They are more akin to, quote, utilities, unquote, with a sworn public trust to be neutral and unbiased in the content they serve, repurposed at huge profits. Without the advantages they provide to the fake newsters, your characterization of the New York Times as, quote-unquote, failing would be accurate. Google and Facebook are propping them up, just like Jeff Bezos is propping up the Washington Post. But what about the alternative media, the independent media like WND, WorldNet Daily? We're all being starved of advertising and traffic by these hard-left, quote-unquote, utilities that are supposed to be operating in the public interest without bias. It It's interesting when these policies began in earnest. Right after the 2016 election, while they hyped the ridiculous theories of Russian interference, Google, Facebook, and other mega corporations that are part of what I call the, quote, digital cartel, unquote, are planning the political and social transformation of the United States. If I'm right, they will have orchestrated the cultural takeover of the country with the imposition of speech codes, the banishment of what they call hate speech, and the eradication of the independent media. It's not just about you, Mr. President. It's about the survival of a First Amendment that has any meaning. However, if you want to see how Google distorts your record and actively promotes the most viciously partisan coverage, just take a minute any day and click on Google News. The top pages are always left-wing Democrat propaganda. You won't find any independent media reports, at least not without scrolling to page after page. In other words, this is where and how the media game is rigged. The fact that Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, and Amazon all depend on the extreme nutcases at the Southern Poverty Law Center to advise them on proper content is all we really need to know about the chances for Trump policies to get a fair shake. I urge you to have your team look into the legal strategies that can be used to right this egregious wrong, one that poses an imminent threat to the First Amendment's protections of free speech, freedom of the press, and freedom of religion. Without your help and leadership on this matter, the independent media that helped you get elected in 2016 will not long survive. And that's the game plan for the digital cartel. For those reading this opening warning to the president, here's how you can help WND survive. Well, that's just a kind of an appeal to the people, so I won't read all of that.
But it is important to help WND because Joseph Farah has been there quite a while, and he says we're in a battle for survival, and they need to raise a minimum of $100,000 in August to make ends meet. And he says the good news is that we've seen a showering of blessings already. So if some of you really have money, perhaps you can help WorldNet Daily. I recall that in the abomination years, Joseph Farah came on with Alex Jones, and he told him how his home in Virginia was being surveilled by drones constantly. Did you know that? Yes, things like that happen. And, of course, Joseph Farah was in the midst of producing a movie about our dear friend, Holocaust survivor Anita Dittmann. And I believe those plans have had to be shelved for a while because of this money crisis. We need voices like Joseph Farah. We need voices like Alex Jones. We need voices like Lou and Elizabeth Cuppet Caverly. We need your voice. We need your prayers. In fact, Lou, I would like you to make a prayer with our listeners for our country to repent and to protect these voices who are valiantly fighting for our freedom of speech.
Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, we pray that you will defend those who are trying to preserve the freedoms that will allow us to worship you and to have the right to speak our voices in this nation. There are so many on the left who want to squelch these. They think that somehow they will get the power. And, of course, the truth is powers beyond their control will just squelch them immediately if they do get control, or at least in due time. But they are forces that want to take away all these rights, and they want to deny the right to worship you and your son, Jesus Christ. So we pray, O Lord, that you will defend those who are on the side of you, who are defending the right to worship you, the right to speak the truth, and the right to defend the other freedoms that this country has stood for. And I believe that's one of the reasons why you've blessed this country down through the last 2.5 centuries. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lou, and we ask for your continued prayers on these things. We see the phoniness, the lies of the MSM. We talked before on this program the ridiculousness that the Taliban is too powerful for the massive firepower of the U.S. military to take them out, and these lies continue. We talked about Doug Hagman of the Northeast Intelligence Network discovering that a lot of these training compounds, these Islamic training compounds, are preparing jihadi fighters to go back to Afghanistan to keep the theater going, that we really have a Taliban that is so powerful. We have to keep our troops there so that those opium fields can be guarded, those poppy fields that turn into opium. Pat Tillman's death was not in vain, as long as we can tell you about this. So again, we had Time magazine with a big article, Witness to the Afghan War, Inside the U.S. Counterassault to a Shocking Taliban Attack. Oh boy, here we have it, the shocking Taliban attack. And just a few of the captions in this article were, the Taliban had all that firepower inside the city, and Afghan and U.S. forces had to deal with it. Lou, what do you sense from that emotionally? Is that a rational statement?
Not to me, it's not. No. The Taliban had all that firepower. Well, we knew they had that. They've been a force for many years. The United States should have been quite aware of that and probably was aware of it. This is just propaganda, pure and simple. And the United States, with a budget for the military that is, oh, I don't know what it is. It's a huge number per year. Couldn't we take out a small group like that if we really wanted to?
Of course we could, and as we quoted the late General Smedley Butler, war is a racket. Another one of these captions was, U.S. casualties at Ghazni belie the Pentagon claim that combat missions ended in 2014. See, this could be the war between the light and the dark parts of the deep state. See, some of the good men wanted this thing to end, this awful illegal war in 2014. It is an illegal war by now. You know, a little humorous side note, maybe we have hope because we heard that with all of this going on, we might have a new star, a political star waiting in the wings. And this person said, a definite maybe. Why, that was a quote from none other than Chelsea Clinton, asked whether she plans to run for public office in the future. But some parts of this sickness and sin, they are overtaking us. We are being destroyed the way the Israelites were in the Old Testament because they turned away from God. And so we have this Muslim influence. There are two headlines, Muslim attacker to Jew in Germany, Berlin is our city now. The other headline is, Iranians charged with spying on Jews in U.S. raise specter of assassination plots here. Will the time come, we hope and pray not, that one of our listeners wrote to us, when we see these child jihadi bombers, these suicidal bombers from Islam at our schools, at the school buses? I hope and pray we will repent and turn back before that comes. We'll give you more details on those last two stories again soon in the future. You want to tune in next week because you want to hear again about what's going on at Flight 93. You want to have the real data of what really happened on September 11th. Tell your friends to tune in. Thank you. Thank you for giving us this voice and praying for us. God helped us miraculously this summer financially. And it could only have been God, a true miracle. We love you and we pray for you. Never get disheartened if you're on God's side. He's on yours. Good night.